Hello, everyone, and welcome to Digital Roadmap, an old-school gaming podcast where we explore how the games of the past brought us the games that we love today. I'm your host, Grant, and in this episode, we're going to take a look at the different types of space simulators that have developed over the years, really what they have in common and what sets them apart in the overall genre. The day before this episode went live, the world lost physicist Stephen Hawking. He was a great mind, a man with a good sense of humor, and a leader in not just his field, but in bringing a sense of wonder to the natural world and to space. Given the timing of the episode and the topic, I wanted to just take a moment to acknowledge his passing and dedicate this episode to him. Just as some of these games mentioned in this episode, his work and passion have driven my love and awe of space. His joyful spirit will be missed. So over the course of this episode, we're going to go over three different types of simulators, and that is the combat sims, the economy sims, and really what's known as space racing. We'll get into that in a moment. I just want to look at what these simulators have in common in general. And that is that you're able to micromanage resources and systems, be that your weapon systems in the course of a combat sim, your cargo loadout and your engine loadout in the course of the economy sims, or even just the money you have for R&D and the amount of science dedicated to each aspect of research and development in the space race games. Now, the first one we're going to look at are the combat sims, the combat simulators. These are mostly focused on fights between different ships, be they the larger ships or even the dogfighters. And most of these games are mission-based instead of just open world, go explore, get into trouble for yourself. The main resources you focus on in these games are your shields, your weapon power, what type of weapons you're loaded out with, and a lot of the time also the heat that these generate because it's a little bit hard to shed heat up in space. One of the prime examples is actually the Wing Commander series, the Wing Commander 3 we'll be looking at in the end of the month. These are very much dogfighting games. These are the equivalent of fighter jet games where you're gripping and ripping, you're kind of whipping around back and forth, trying to get the better line on your opponent and destroy them before they have a chance to hurt you. Mostly you're just dealing with a small fighter wing as part of a whole fleet. You're not controlling the capital ships themselves. And it, like I said, it's a very fast combat. It's a very speedy kind of whipping back and forth, cutting into different directions all the time type fight. Another example on the other side is the game we looked at back in the summer, which was Star Trek Bridge Commander, or the more modern VR version, Bridge Crew. These are more of the naval-style ship-to-ship combats where you're kind of jockeying for a better position to get a solid shot and hit the weakened sections of your opponent's ships. Some of them do use capital ships in games where you are actually trying to get broadsides as you would in old-school pirate fighting type games. Now, this combat is much slower paced as you are just kind of coming around and getting each weapon system lined up for the right shot at the right time. Next, I want to look at the economy sims. I call them that only because your main focus is on money and other resources that you're gathering, as opposed to just your ship loadout like you do in the combat simulators. Now, most of these games do have combat as an option, and some of the times they are necessary to advance the story in some way. Mostly, though, they are open sandboxes for you to play around in, for you to trade, for you to gain money in whatever way you want to do. Sometimes that sandbox is gated a little bit so that you can only advance to certain areas as the story progresses in the game. As I said, most of the progression is through your making money, through the money that you make yourself as a player. And that's either through trading, or there's bounty missions, escort work you can do, bringing certain items to certain locations. So not quite trading, but fulfilling contracts, fulfilling delivery contracts, basically being a space trucker. And there's two games that really exemplify this for me. The first one is Elite, the Elite series as a whole. It's very much a trade focus. It's very much a large-scale group of stars you're working with. And you're completely free in the earlier games to just ignore the stories and goals. They can happen if you want them to, but you do not have to go deal with them. They'll be there waiting for you. And the more modern one, the most modern one in that franchise, is Elite Dangerous. It's done in a more MMO style. It's a full galaxy. It's actually Elite Dangerous does its best to model the Milky Way as a whole. And there are no goals. There are no firm objectives that you have to do. It's all up to you. It's all up to the missions you choose to take on. The other game in this type of sim that really exemplifies it is the X series. So the one I played most was X3. It is very, very, very focused on the economy on the planets that you can go to. The player can actually run a vertically integrated business with automated ships, so you can control your resource gathering. You control the production of your power resources. You can then have automated ships take those power cells, take them to another place, get them used as part of a production that you can do from other areas, sell that stuff, make more money, and just start rolling in money after money after money. Once you actually get some of your businesses up and running, the money comes in very quick. And because you can automate ships, for all the combat is in this game, you can automate that as well. You can basically buy a bunch of ships that you can automate and handle the fighting, and they can just kind of fly around and protect you, and you can go through the story's combat missions using these automated ships that do the work for you. It's really useful if you're not a great space combat guy, kind of like myself, but it's fascinating that they have that as an option. Now, the last of the big three types I want to focus on is the space race type of game. This is much more, forgive the pun, but down-to-earth type game. The focus really is on getting to space from your main planet and exploring your local solar system, your local system as a whole. Most of your progress in this game, most of the player progression, is done through research and development. So you're trying to develop newer technology to travel with. You're trying to develop better rockets, better engines, better capsules, more science options available for you as well. And the resources in this are gained mostly through completing goals and keeping the government or funding body that you have happy. So if you keep on their positive side and you keep doing the things they're asking you to do, you're going to bring in more resources for sure. Now, just like the other categories, I'm using two games to exemplify it. The first one is the classic, and that's Buzz Aldrin's Race to Space. This game was based on the actual space race that happened during the Cold War. You have different milestones to achieve throughout the game that will happen when they're supposed to, for the most part, and that is, for example, the first satellite that orbits the Earth. So you have Sputnik showing up when it's supposed to. You also have the first manned orbit around Earth and then come back. Ultimately, the way to win that game is by landing on the moon, being the first manned moon landing going on. So it doesn't have the wide open end that a lot of these games do. It does have a fixed progression. It does have a fixed ending. But it's just fascinating that they have a whole game based on the classic space race that happened. The other one I want to point to, it's a more modern one, and that is Kerbal Space Program. Now, it takes place on the fictional world of Kerbin. You are a little green alien, just playing up that gag like you can't imagine. And you're basically doing your own space race against yourself. You're recreating essentially a version of NASA, very loosely based on NASA, but it's still essentially NASA that you're dealing with. And they have a full solar system to explore with a whole bunch of planets. You can learn things from the different planets. You can go land on them, drive around, shoot yourself back up into space. All of this assuming you have the resources and you have the design ability to actually build your spaceship and do that. Because you are flying in space, you do launch from the planet up into space, break gravity, and actually use traditional physics to get around. And the R&D for this, it gets you better equipment, it gets you more tools to do more science with, and science is your key resource for research and development. And you gain your science through doing experiments, through reaching different milestones in the course of your progression. You can take samples from the moon, you can fly by the moon, you can have a new height for your flight, you can orbit the planet, you can orbit any planet and come back, and that's going to get you more resources, that's going to reward you for what you've done. Now, there's one other game I want to mention, only because it is such a bizarre, surreal, fascinating game that doesn't quite work as a flight simulator, as a space flight simulator, but it does simulate space, and that is Universe Sandbox and Universe Sandbox 2. With this game, or with this tool set, really, you can control the motion and position of planets and solar systems. You can change the face of planets by sending asteroid strikes after them. You can see the effects of just a slight change in orbit as to what that's going to do to the entire solar system. Sometimes it'll throw things insanely out of whack. Sometimes it takes decades to see the results of what's happening. It is just such a fun toy that I thought it bared mentioning. And I thought, again, with the whole theme of space and wonder and exploration, it bared mentioning, especially in light of everything that's happened in the last day. And so that's it for Space Sims. I want to thank you for joining us this episode. And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that either on Twitter at Roadmap Podcast. You can come by the website, roadmappodcast.com, or join the Discord channel. Links to all of that in the show notes. Also links to all the games we've mentioned this episode as well. Come by, talk with us. Feel free to suggest some older games that we should play. Share some of your favorite memories of these space games, or even just ask questions. I'm always happy to answer questions. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Leave a review while you're there. It's the only way we're going to get better. It's the only way we're going to get out to more people. Also, I wanted to mention that Digital Roadmap is part of the Humble Bundle Partner Program. This basically means that some of the links in the show notes are going to lead out to the Humble Store. And if you buy the game after following that, or you buy any game after following that link, it's going to give a little bit back to the show. You are already shopping through there, gives money to the developer and gives money to certain charities, which is always a great thing. But now, if you follow the affiliate link, we're going to get a little bit back as well, help cover some of the costs of the show. Next episode, I'm actually going to be talking about the EGLX convention that I was at recently up in Mississauga. After that, though, we're going to be looking at Wing Commander 3, Heart of the Tiger. It is just a great entry in the Wing Commander franchise we mentioned earlier in the episode. It is a perennial favorite of mine that has a huge, powerful live-action cast that you don't even realize what they were doing until years later. Looking back at it, it's amazing to see the talent that they had. I'm really looking forward to sharing it. I hope you're looking forward to coming back for it. Thanks for listening.